Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website, www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And I thank you for joining me this morning. And this morning I thought I would do something a little different for our wisdom and encouragement for this week. Instead of the Psalms and Proverbs, I thought we would read through the book of Philippians. Well, the first chapters today, and then next week the next two chapters, because it's only four chapters long. But I thought we would just switch it up a little bit this week. And I'm praying in the powerful name of Jesus, in the powerful name of Yeshua, that you're blessed this morning by what we read, and that you would find some encouragement, and that would help you draw closer to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to our Father in heaven. I want to thank you for your support. The generosity has been far more than I deserve, and I just want to thank all of you who donate, and I want to thank all the Patreon subscribers who are month in and month out helping making this possible. I can't thank you enough. It's again, far more than I deserve, and I just ask that you continue to pray for this work, that it would continue to go forth, and that it would continue to have God's blessing on it. You know, my hope is that one day I'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my hope. And, I'm hoping this work is blessing you, and judging by the emails and the support and all of that, I would say that it, most definitely is. So please continue to pray, that I would be able to find the time and all these things that I need to do to be able to prepare this for you early each morning. And I hope the day comes when this can be a Monday through Friday type of thing. We will see. It's one of those things where it's in the hands of the Lord, so we'll see. All right, let's dig in. Book of Philippians. We're going to read chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I'll just kind of commentate as we're going through it. And again, I pray that you find wisdom, you find some encouragement, and that you're blessed by this morning. All right, let's begin. Verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. For you are all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there. That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. You know, when you find those moments of thinking, oh man, Is the Lord really for me? Am I really saved? And you're struggling, and you're thinking, am I gonna make it? Am I gonna be able to stand up? Am I gonna be able to finish this thing? Remember that it's Messiah, it's Christ who's doing the work, and you're just the vessel. And it's just, you just need to be in submission to him, and completely and utterly reliant on him. And here's the promise. Here's the promise that if you are those things, if you're looking to him, the author of your salvation, he's made a promise. Right here it is. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he's begun a good work in you, if you can look at your life today and go, man, I'm not who I want to be, but I'm definitely not who I used to be. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Paul's saying, if he started a good work in you, he's going to complete it. He's going to finish it until the end. No one can rip you out of his hands. No one can take you out of the hand of God. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto a furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, it appears that Paul is in bondage during this time that he's writing to the Philippians. And he's saying that his hope is that his chains would bring glory to God and give confidence to the brethren. And he says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's continue. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, he's saying, whether he lives or he dies, Christ is going to be lifted up. You know, if he dies for the case or for the cause of the gospel, Christ will be magnified. So whether he's alive preaching the truth or whether he is persecuted and put to death for the good news, either way, Christ is magnified. So that's why he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live, I get to continue to glorify Christ and bring people to the knowledge of the truth. If I die, well, I gain even more because I get to be with Christ. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He's saying between the two options, I don't know which one I would prefer. I mean, this is a man who's sold out to Christ. He's saying, if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord, which is way better than being here. But it's best for the people that I minister to that I remain here in the flesh. Verse 25, in having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. All right, Paul's talking about how we are to relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's saying you need to be like-minded, right? Same mission, same goals, same faith. And let nothing that you're doing be done through strife or vainglory, but be done in lowliness, humility, and esteem other better than yourself. Not only that, but don't just look at your own things and your own needs, but the things of others. So this is how you walk in the faith and how you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are to look at them as though they're more important than you. And don't be just concerned about your own needs and things, but be concerned about their needs and their things. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He's continuing that same thought. He's like, take a lesson from our Savior, from our Master, who even though was God, did not think of himself of any reputation, but instead took the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, God has given the name of Jesus. It is the highest name. It is the name above all names, according to the Scriptures. And the day is coming when every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, Paul's pointing out how important this is, that you be in the faith. And you need to work this out for yourself with fear and trembling, because it's that important. It's that critical. It's everything. It's your eternity. What could be more important than where you're going to spend forever? Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasures. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want to kind of examine that section again. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's that important. God is doing a work through you, and it's for his good pleasure. And you need to do these works without murmuring and without arguing amongst each other, without disputing. Why? So that you can be blameless and harmless. That you can be as the sons of God. Because, why? Listen to this. And this is an issue that we have today. Because you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And so when you walk in righteousness and holiness, when you're being about your Father's business, what happens when you're in this crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights to the world? You see, we're called to be a salt and a light to this world. And we today, no matter where you are in the world, you live amongst a wicked and perverse nation that blasphemes the name of Jesus Christ, that hates everything good and wholesome and godly. And you are a bright light in that dark pit. You're one of the children of God, holding forth in the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not turned, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with all, with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. And that is chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And we'll do chapter 3 and chapter 4, Lord willing, next Monday. And I pray that it's blessed you this morning. We have a few minutes, and I still need to read my morning and evening commentary from Charles Spurgeon, so I'm going to read the morning version with you this morning. So let me get to the right page. And the devotional is on Psalm 17:7, Marvelous Loving Kindness. Let's see what the great Spurgeon had to say. When we give our hearts with our alms, we give well. But we must often plead to the failure in this respect. Not so our Master and our Lord. His favors are always performed with the love of his heart. He does not send us to the cold meat and broken pieces from the table of his luxury, but he dips our morsel in his own dish and seasons our provision with the spices of his fragrant affections. When he puts the golden tokens of his grace into our palms, he accompanies the gift with such warm pressure of our hand that the manner of his giving is as precious as the boon itself. He will come into our houses and upon errands of kindness, and he will not act as some austere visitors do in the poor man's cottage, but he sits by our side, not despising our poverty, nor blaming our weakness. Beloved, with what smiles does he speak? What golden sentences drop from his gracious lips? What embraces of affection does he bestow upon us? If he had but given us farthings, the way of his giving would have gilded them. But as it is, the costly alms are set in a golden basket by his pleasant carriage. It is impossible to doubt the sincerity of his charity, for there is a bleeding heart stamped upon the face of all his benefactions. He giveth liberally and unbraided not. Not one hint that are burdensome to him, not one cold look for his poor pensioners. But he rejoices in his mercies and presses us to his bosom while he is pouring out his life for us. There is a fragrance in his spikenard which nothing but his heart could produce. There is a sweetness in his honeycomb which could not be in it unless the very essence of his soul's affection had been mingled with it. Oh, the rare communion which such regular heartiness affecteth. May we continually taste and know the blessedness of it. Well, that is the podcast for this morning. Again, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you've been blessed, that you've been encouraged, that the Word of God has pierced your hearts and spoken to you and caused you to draw near to your Father in heaven and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.